Jesus was resolutely determined to continue on his journey to Jerusalem. Jesus was resolutely determined to continue on his journey to Jerusalem. That was his goal. That was the purpose he was sent here by God as his son, to go to Jerusalem to save God's creation and God's people, to save you and me. And he was resolutely determined to continue on his journey. My sisters and brothers, we are all on a journey. The journey that we are on is from the moment of conception to eternal life. We are striving to get closer and closer to our God every day of our lives. When God, our Father, gave us the gift of His life, it was a most precious gift. It was just not a gift of life at the moment. It was the gift of everlasting life. That life that would never end because God shared His very self with us. For God, there is no beginning. There is no present. There is no end. God has been there now and forever. And He has shared that precious gift with us, part of Himself. What a precious gift. And each one of us, on our journey to draw nearer and nearer to our Father, to our God who gave us this gift of life, must strive every day to draw nearer to Him, to come to know Him more deeply, so that you and I can be with Him forever in everlasting life, which we call eternal life to a great extent. That's why it's so important. You know, we always talk about morning prayer and night prayer. Well, basically, what morning prayer and night prayer should be in our lives, and that's why they're very important. It should be a realization every day about our relationship with our God. You know, get up in the morning, it's like, well, good morning, God. And it's like we say to anyone that we care about, that we love, that we live with, that we're close to, showing that kind of acknowledgement and that kind of respect. And what we should be striving to do every morning when we say hello, it should be, today I'm going to use this gift of life, these talents, these abilities, these blessings, these graces that you give me, to get closer to you by what I do and how I act and how much I am aware of who I am in relationship with so many people. That's what we're supposed to do with our life each day, is try to get closer and closer to God by how we live and how we act. And what's night prayer? Night prayer is, good night, Lord. I hope I accomplished it today. I look at my life. Did I get closer to you? Did I get to know you more by the people I interrelated with, by the good things that I did, by the places I went? Did I become more aware of your love and of your how you created all these things that I have had contact with, and that you nourished me today, and how important and significant the relationship with you has been? Or have I kind of forgotten it as this day went on? Did I get more distant from you by embracing things that were not good, that were not helpful as far as drawing close to you? And then you seem to reconcile at the end of every day and go to sleep, just like you do with anyone else that you really love. You don't want to go to sleep if you're divided and you're separated from the one that loves you and the one that you love. So, and that's kind of what the significance of morning prayer is. On this journey, every day, we strive to near nearer and nearer to the Lord by how we live. And He shares so much with us. That's why if we can travel the whole world, if we can meet millions of people, we only come to know our God more and more. We can't be isolated and alone. We can't stay in the same spot. We've got to keep moving along as Jesus did in His life. Christ was referred to, and it's always one of my favorite images of him, the peripatetic Christ, on the move, moving from one person to the other, sharing with people, coming to know people, sharing himself with people, caring for others. You and I have to continue on the journey. Can't be sedentary. We've got to keep striving and moving to come to know our God more and more. That's the purpose of our life, until we are with the Lord forever in eternal life. It's just as Christ was striving to be in Jerusalem, resolutely determined to continue his journey. You and I must continue that journey in our own lives. A week ago, a group of the old priests that live over here in the St. John Paul II Residence for Priests, right next door here, we went out for a boat ride on Lake Travis. This young lady here was very good to me. She says, "I don't look as old as all those other old priests over there." And I said, "You seem like a very sharp lady." But I went with them anyway, even though I don't look as old as the other guys there. So we went out for the boat ride together, and we were really enjoying ourselves. It was a beautiful day. And the thing that caught so many of our attention, and caught my attention too, is all these beautiful, beautiful homes all around Lake Travis. I mean, they look like castles. I know the comments go, "Oh my God, you mean like maybe one family lives in that house or so? It looks like it could hold like 50 people, you know, and high on the hill overlooking, you know, the beautiful scenery and everything." You think, boy, these people must have everything, you know. I mean, just, you know, as so many people do, they figure if you're rich and you have all these kinds of possessions, you got everything you want and everything you need in the world. But that's not always the case. That's why we got to learn as we journey and travel. So many times, you know, some people that have all these things are prisoners of these things. They're almost enslaved to them. It stops them from the journey. They don't keep seeking and searching. They might feel that they have everything, and they get ensnared by prisoners of their possessions, maybe prisoners of animals, prisoners of family sometimes, prisoners of compulsions that seem to bring pleasure and enjoyment or power into their lives. Many times you become prisoners of these things, and they stop you. They stop me from seeking, from trying, from looking for to go closer and closer to God. They prevent you from carrying on and from continuing to search and drawing nearer and nearer to your God. They can be very dangerous sometimes. You're no longer free. And it makes me think about that now for this week. We're celebrating the 4th of July, you know, a day basically when we are celebrating the freedom that we have as a people and a nation. You know, like, what is freedom? Freedom is the ability and the opportunity to carry on the journey, to keep trying to draw closer and closer to the Lord. So many times, people that are not free are the ones that are not able to continue on their journey to get closer to God. They prevent assembly with other people. They don't allow us to express the way we follow the Lord and do good things in our life. Many societies don't have that kind of freedom. That's what real freedom is. Real freedom is deepening and developing our relationship with our God. That's why so many times you hear the examples, religious freedom. You know, so many countries don't have that. That's what any freedom is. Freedom is to be able to live your life as a person on journey. You know, what do they usually do if they want to enslave you, imprison you, and they don't allow you to travel? They restrict your travel. They restrict the ability to mix with certain people and assemble with people. They want to stop the journey in our lives that are so important for us to get closer and closer to God. How fortunate we are to live in a nation when we can continue our journey, follow Christ wherever he may lead us. That is what real freedom is, and how fortunate we are to have a country where that can happen. In our journey, there are many hardships. That's why a lot of people don't like to travel, don't like to go on journeys, don't like to go into the unknown so many times, because we deal with many hardships. History is full of descriptions of journeys in people's lives, and usually there are many hardships in them, whether it was St. Paul, the apostle, one of our brothers of faith, whether it was the very disciples of Jesus. We see that we're on the journey with him, that we're following him to Jerusalem. These hardships, this relationship with Christ, transforms our lives. The prophet Elisha listened to the words of Elijah, and he followed him. It changed his life. He followed him on his journey. The apostles James and John, they, on the journey with Christ through Samaria, they got all disgusted with the people of Samaria because they kind of rejected them and the like. They didn't welcome them. They didn't like. They said, well, let's punish them. Let's respond to them. Let's like make war against them for not being loving and caring and concerned. And Jesus said, you must learn to deal with rejection in your life and people that cannot understand you. Who are you to judge them? Don't judge them. Forgive them. Forgive them and care for them. They learned forgiveness on the journey. We have lots of things to learn on the journey about our God and about our relationship with Christ. And the way we do that is following the Lord on this journey. If you are with Christ and Christ is with you on the journey, you will never be alone. You will never be lonely. You will have the courage and the strength to keep carrying on. You will have the desire to seek and to find. You will have the desire to keep trying no matter what happens in your life if you are following Christ. And you will draw so much closer to him, because where he is, you also will be on the journey with Christ through this life. Don't give up. Don't stop. You know, sometimes, depending on who we are, you know, sometimes like old guys like over here, you know, they think they know everything. They've seen it all. I've been there, done that. I know about what everything's going. You're not too old to learn. You're not too old to keep carrying on and meeting new people, going to new places, experiencing God in all kinds of different ways, and using the gifts and talents you have to do it. Just don't stop. Just don't quit. And then you can be like, well, there's a young guy over here. He doesn't even know what he needs to learn and what he needs to find out about. Some of us need to share that with him. He needs to keep moving, stay on his journey, follow Christ, wherever Christ might lead you, so that you will learn how important your relationship with him is and with throughout his creation. It's really vital and important. Just don't sit still somewhere. Get out there and discover the Lord wherever he might lead you. It's so vital. It's so important. It's so significant that we have the courage and the strength and the faith to follow Christ. It is so important that we continue on the journey, that we do not end, no matter how old or how young, until, like Christ did, he reached his Jerusalem, and how each one of us, we're not done until we have reached eternal life and everlasting life with the Lord. Keep a moving. Carry on. Continue following Christ on the journey wherever he may lead you. Amen.